Welcome to Talk Nation Radio and our New Year's special for 2009 as we continue to follow Connecticut peace activists trying to get into Gaza with the Gaza Freedom March. I'm Dory Smith.
We've been surrounded by police in these different demonstrations.
Tomorrow, the students are planning on organizing a march with Egyptians.
We will do a Gaza Freedom March in Cairo. We are not going to announce yet when this march will happen and where it will be located.
Many Americans had hoped for a more peaceful 2009 in the Middle East. Instead, the Obama administration has been extending military operations there. The website iCasualties now lists 6,244 U.S. and coalition casualties. Hundreds of thousands of civilians and militants have died, and there are still millions of refugees, wounded, and internally displaced in countries occupied by U.S. forces. This week's headlines are also grim. There are school children protesting in Afghanistan in response to a new report that found U.S. airstrikes there killed 10 civilians, school children, and not militants, as the U.S. military had said. With the recent unsuccessful terror attack by a Nigerian on board a U.S. airliner with ties to Yemen, the U.S. military operation now appears to be extending from Iraq to Afghanistan to Pakistan and now Yemen, with a U.S. and coalition presence at the Iranian border as well. Officials in Yemen have vowed to eliminate al-Qaeda from their country, yet large-scale U.S. military aid to their country has not helped them achieve that goal. Instead, anti-American sentiments appear to be growing in the entire region. In Pakistan, the number of casualties is now approaching 100 due to an increase in bombings over just the past few months. In Iran, yet another killing, this time the nephew of opposition leader Mousavi. Ali Mousavi was run over by a car and killed on December 30th by unidentified assailants. He now becomes the eighth person to die in the past 2 weeks as military police in Iran crack down on protesters. In spite of these developments, we find Israel's Operation Cast Lead, the costly invasion of Gaza, to be the most important story we've done this year. That because of the impact of Israeli policy toward Palestinians on all of the regions where U.S. and coalition forces are deployed. At the start of the year, Israeli airstrikes destroyed Palestinian homes, hospitals, and even UN shelters, killing 1,400, most of them civilians, wounding thousands, and leaving thousands homeless. The attack has had widespread impact on the Obama administration's efforts in the Middle East, and from the start, trust in the U.S. had deteriorated. The problem is by no means new. In fact, the authors of the September 2002 National Security Strategy for the U.S. found Israel's occupation of Palestine presented a grave danger to global security. It states, quote, "Permanent occupation threatens Israel's identity and democracy. So the United States continues to challenge Israel's leaders to take concrete steps to support the emergence of a viable, credible Palestinian state. As there is progress toward security, Israeli forces need to withdraw fully to positions they held prior to September 28, 2000. Instead, Israeli leaders entered into a decade-long expansion plan, inflaming anti-Israel and anti-U.S. tensions in the region and creating hostility toward U.S. forces in Iraq, Afghanistan, and elsewhere. Israel has constructed new high-rise settlements on land where Palestinian homes recently stood but were bulldozed, and an array of Jewish-only housing was accessed by Jewish-only highways and protected by a gigantic separation wall. An Israeli court has just found that the Jewish-only policy for at least one highway is illegal under Israeli law, but the wall stands, keeping farmers from land, separating Palestinian family members, and holding up medical care for sick or even pregnant Palestinians. Israel's Operation Cast Lead and the lack of aid or reconstruction afterward for 1.5 million people trapped with minimal supplies presents one of the great moral challenges of our time. And organizers of the Gaza Freedom March now say, after seeing the devastation in Gaza, they are committed to helping end the blockade that has prevented Palestinian civilians from obtaining food and medical supplies since 2006. Pink Floyd's Roger Waters offered a taped statement about his personal reasons for joining the Gaza Freedom March.
I know very little about Egyptian politics. I wrote letters to them yesterday and today, as did many, many hundreds of thousands of other people, requesting the Egyptian government to allow this march of these committed, decent people from all over the world who are trying to get into Gaza. And they need permission from the Egyptian government because the only way in is through Egypt. We saw a year ago when the Israelis invaded and razed Gaza practically to the ground. Although I know what happened there as well as is possible because I pay attention, most of the media in the US and in the UK really played it down. Otherwise, if they hadn't played it down, it seems impossible that the uprising of shock and horror at what was done to the Palestinians in Gaza a year ago would have entirely demanded that the US government and the UK government take action and impose some kind of sanctions on the Israelis or something, or at least say something, deplore the action, or do something. There is a huge and unfathomable tendency to want this problem to go away and to, this is too difficult for us to deal with. And it would mean us actually confronting our Israeli allies.
Have you heard it was on the news? The general staff can't figure out, is this campaign win or lose? Life is long, but it goes fast. Kids will have to separate their future from our past.
Hello, I love you. Is there anybody there?
The ghosts are walking by my side.
This is our New Year's special, Talk Nation Radio for 2009. And we're joined by University of Connecticut student Joanna L. Rivera and Connecticut peace activist Christopher Hutchinson. They're in Cairo, carrying with them the hopes of many Connecticut peace activists and peace activists from around the world as they join 1,400 peace delegates trying to get across the tightly controlled Egyptian border with Gaza. The marchers have been gaining widespread international support, and UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has said Gazans are being denied their basic human rights. He urged Israel to end its, quote, unacceptable and counterproductive blockade. But shortly before the march was set to start, the Egyptian government abruptly canceled their travel plans into Gaza. As Joanna Rivera and Christopher Hutchinson explain, there were protests outside the U.S. Embassy in Cairo and at an organization for journalists. Joanna L. Rivera is a chemical engineer and pharmacy graduate student at UConn, the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. Joanna, welcome once again to Talk Nation Radio.
How are you?
What's it been like in the streets of Cairo? I understand you've been going to protests there.
Well, we just came from a demonstration at the journalist syndicate here in Cairo. We were here with some Egyptian young people, families, but it was really powerful to be chanting with the Egyptian people. They were defying their government, and they were chanting, we will go to Gaza, they want to join us. We approached some of the students there, and they said that they want to march with us to go to Gaza.
Joanna, where has all of this been unfolding in Cairo? Explain where these events have been going on.
This is in downtown, close to Tahrir Square. So there were hundreds of people there. Also, there is a French delegation stationed at the in front of the French embassy. They've been camping there for 3 days, demanding their government, the French government, to allow them to go to Gaza too. So there have been different manifestations all over Cairo. There was an American activist that hung a Palestinian flag over the Cairo Tower, which is one of the tallest buildings here in Cairo. So we've been doing a lot of things. We've been surrounded by police in these different demonstrations. So they're having an eye on us.
Now, from the pictures, the police presence looks pretty substantial there in Cairo.
Well, in terms of the numbers, yes, they've been like lines of three rows of policemen trying to barricade the French embassy. We were there yesterday and today, and it's just so tiring. I wouldn't say there has not been any violent incidents, but it's just physically and psychologically tiring. It's really hot here, and people is in camping, you know, sleeping on sleeping bags, very crowded. There's only one toilet for 250 people in the embassy, so they have to wait hours to use the toilet. And at some point, they have not let the woman out of the barricade to use the toilet. So it's really psychological and physical challenging.
Joanna, we were able to reach a student in Gaza on December 28th, you might say your counterpart. And I'd like you to listen. This is young Dima Mishal. She was on her way to a demonstration where all of the delegates were supposed to have joined together. But Dima was still hopeful that you and the others would be joining her.
Well, we are still waiting for that. We hope that they can make it. You know, we are trying to go the same, the very same schedule. And we're trying to make the demonstration go on, you know. But we really hope they can make it. You know, everyone here is waiting for the delegators.
Dima Mishal, as you know, the delegation has hit a snag. What is your message to people waiting in Cairo, hoping that they can join you?
I hope that everyone can make it here. Gaza, I need you to come, and we are waiting here for you, people. I hope that they can make it. We can feel them here. Their voices is reaching us, but we really hope if they can come to Gaza so we can demonstrate all of us together and raise the peace, you know.
Now, we actually lost that call, unfortunately. Joanna, what would your message be in return?
What would I say to my counterparts in Gaza?
Yes.
We're doing what we humanly can to get the attention of the press, the government. Now we have the support of the Egyptian people who is uniting with us in the call to the government. So we're doing all that we can, but the Egyptian government has been really, really strong in their position that they're not letting us in. And there's also part of the delegation, I think 38 people in El Arish, which is a town nearby the border, and they have been banned to go out of the
And we lost our call to Joanna L. Rivera in Cairo, and then were able to get her back. Joanna, just continue. You were talking about the circumstances of this delegation. It's difficult for people to be able to move about along the border area.
What I was saying is that we feel the support of the people here in Cairo, the Egyptian people. They're supporting us 100%. But that's not enough, because if the government does not let us in, then, you know, we made a lot of effort to be here. There's people from South Africa, there's people from the U.S., from France, Italy, Britain. There's people from 43 countries, and we are demanding that all of us get in. We want all to get in, because we all work for it, and we work hard. We want to show solidarity with the people in Gaza. I just wanted to add also that this delegation has provided a safe space for Egyptians to come out of the street and protest, and also that there has been awareness about the building of the wall in Rafah within the Egyptian border with Gaza, and that also workers there have refused to continue their construction work in solidarity with the Gaza people.
And this wall construction, as I understand it from your letters now, going on with the assistance or even direction of American engineers.
It was confirmed by the U.S. Embassy that the construction of the wall was designed with American help by American engineers.
And you said you were able to meet Holocaust survivor Hedy Epstein, the 85-year-old, who, as we understand it now, is on a hunger strike. How many people in all are on a hunger strike there?
Yes, I met yesterday Hedy Epstein and another Franciscan priest called Luis, among others, that they are on a hunger strike. I think we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep demonstrating. We're going to keep defying the Egyptian government until we get our needs met. And if there is indeed a delegation going to Gaza of 100 people, we will not leave here. We will continue this process because 100 people is not enough. We came 1,300 people. That's what we decide as a group. We want to go all together. If there is 100 people only that are going, it's just to keep us quiet, but we're going to continue. The people that are here are willing to continue to demonstrate and not accept the decision of the Egyptian government. And the world talks also about walking, and we will see how that goes. We'll meet tomorrow.
And how many of them are doing the hunger strike? Do you know?
I think at least 10 people, if not more. I saw the list when they were collecting the names, and at least there were people from 85, 70 years, 59 years, 40 years old. So there were at least 10 people, if not more.
Joanna, in many of the countries that we've been talking about, we're seeing a lot of interest on the part of students. Is that something that you're seeing in Cairo?
Yeah, we were in the protest. There was a Canadian-Palestinian student, and he stood there and he said, I just used all my savings and I wanted to go to Gaza, and I will not accept that we are denied by the Egyptian government. So I think we are students from all over the world. There's students from France, there's students from Canada, there's students in the U.S. We're going to fight together, and at least what I see as a positive thing is that people is starting to know here in Egypt. Maybe people were aware and were not willing to take the risk to go to the streets, but now they know and they feel safe that we're here, and they're taking advantage of that opportunity. And we see young Egyptian people, women, children on their father's shoulders in Free Palestine. We want to go to Gaza. So I think this is a wonderful opportunity for them to speak out and to really feel safe about it. We're going to escort them. We're going to stay with them. We're going to do whatever it takes. But it feels so wonderful to know that they can go out and they can speak. And one of the chances to say we are Arabs and Palestine is an Arab country. So they feel the suffering of the people in Gaza and Palestine. And for us being here is an opportunity for them, as I said before, to go out. And I think it will change even if after we go, people will have the spirit and will have the steadfastness to keep protesting. So we saw people shouting slogans to Netanyahu and Mubarak in front of the police, and they were not afraid. So I think that's going to make a difference. Yeah, I mean, you see children chanting and women chanting, and there were some amazing women that we met, originally Palestinians, and they were there with us, and they said, we are tired. We're tired of not doing anything. But we spoke with them for several hours, and they were so knowledgeable. They were mothers, Egyptian mothers, Jordanian mothers, that were so knowledgeable of what's going on in our own country, in their country, and they said, we're just tired, and now is the time to go out and speak, and we're not afraid anymore.
Joanna L. Rivera is a graduate student at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, Connecticut. Joanna, it's come to my attention that you have managed to learn to speak Arabic. Can you say goodbye to us for this New Year's special in Arabic?
Nahnu urid as-salam wa al-hurriya fi Filistin. Thank you, Doreen.
We're speaking with U.S. peace activists in Cairo. They're still hoping to cross into Gaza as part of the Gaza Freedom March. March organizers say they were dragged, pulled, and manhandled on the pavement by Egyptian police. They were trying to enter the U.S. Embassy in Cairo for a scheduled meeting. According to the Christian Science Monitor, Medea Benjamin of the peace group Code Pink said she and 50 other U.S. nationals were beaten up by Egyptian police as they carried with them a letter of support from U.S. Senator John Kerry of Massachusetts. Officially, the U.S. Embassy maintains a policy enacted under the Bush administration as a strong recommendation against travel into Gaza. Still, the policy is that any U.S. citizen who wishes to may speak with an embassy official. Media activist Sam Husseini got one Egyptian security official on tape in the streets of Cairo explaining that the decision about whether or not the group might cross into Gaza as planned was actually up to U.S. officials, not Egyptians.
We just want to go to the embassy. You're preventing us.
If it's a permission to go.
We are wanting to go. You're preventing us from going.
Not me. They told us.
They told you. The U.S. embassy told you. What's your name? Yes.
U.S. officials have maintained that Egypt has full control over the Gaza border. Christopher Hutchinson, we're going to be speaking with March spokesperson Zedad Lunat. But what have you been hearing about any events that may be planned for the next few days as you're stuck in Cairo?
The students are planning on organizing a march with Egyptians somewhere in the city. Nothing has been determined yet. There's going to be an organizational meeting, and it's going to be a very great event because the international presence here has allowed for Egyptians to come out and voice their opinions and dislike of what Mubarak has been doing.
What was the reaction, you know, amongst the larger group of some 1,400 people to the offer, won through negotiations, to allow just 100 people across the border?
The sentiment at the Journalist Syndicate protest was that all of us would go or none of us would go. And I think that the sentiment is strong amongst the delegation, and that the attempt to only let 100 people through is really an attempt to undermine this whole trip. And it's a really dirty trick that the U.S. Embassy and the Egyptian government are playing on 1,300 internationals who came to show support to the Gazan people. And I have to say that the people in Egypt here are overwhelmingly supportive of what we're doing. Everywhere we go, we're asked, are you American? Are you French? Are you supporting Gaza? And you go and you start talking to people and they say, you know, we cannot do much. All we can do is pray that the Gazans are free. But you being here actually helps give us a voice. So I think letting just 100 people through to Gaza seriously undermines all the efforts that we've put into this event.
This idea of Palestinians engaging in peaceful protest, it isn't new, even though to some newly involved in this issue, it may seem that it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. This peaceful demonstrations are not new to the Palestinian movement. The first Intifada, or uprising as they call it, had many examples of peaceful demonstrations. And in fact, you know, weapons were often only used as a means of self-defense in the end. There's a whole history of whether they're taking tactics from Martin Luther King Jr. or from Gandhi or any of these other nonviolent movements. The first inclination is always absolutely to demand by peaceful means their basic human rights. And, you know, to say that it's new is completely missing the whole history of the Palestinian movement.
Well, finally, news reports tend to always center on Israeli security, the, quote, Palestinian problem. But there's very little attention paid to the whole history of land in this region. Can you just end by commenting on that, Christopher Hutchinson?
Yeah, you know, Dory, I mean, this is all about a land grab for Israel. If you look at a lot of the founding documents, you know, going back to the 1800s, the talk was of from the river to the sea, that was going to be Israel. And they've slowly made that. You can see, if you look at the map of Palestine before the colonization of Eastern and Western European Jews coming into the area, the Zionist movement, the areas that were controlled by Palestinians where they lived and worked and farmed has significantly diminished throughout the last 50 years. And they have every right to demand a return to their homes. And I think the end result, my personal opinion, is that it needs to be one secular Palestine, Israel, whatever you want to call it, but it needs to include all members of society, because as it stands right now, only a portion of that society has full rights, and it is a complete disregard for human rights across the world to deny Palestinians the right to education, health care, a decent standard of living, housing.
Christopher Hutchinson, thank you so much for joining us.
Great, Joy. Thank you so much.
We turn finally to Zedad Lunat in Cairo, where he's a spokesperson for the Gaza Freedom March. Zedad Lunat, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, where do things stand with this decision on whether or not marchers will accept the offer to send just 100 people across Egypt's border into Gaza?
What happened is we are about 1,400 people here in Cairo from 43 different countries. We came here with the objective of entering Gaza with the hope that we will march side by side with Palestinians from Gaza to break the illegal and immoral Israeli siege. We arrived here, the Egyptian government gave the answer for our request, and they said that we couldn't enter. We then decided to bring the struggle here in Egypt to pressure the Egyptian government to allow us into Gaza. We had several initiatives. Different national contingents went to their own embassies, including the U.S. embassy. Many were detained outside the U.S. embassy with the permission of the embassy. They were American citizens. And we had an initiative by the women's group that approached Suzanne Mubarak, the wife of the president, to allow us all in. She gave us an answer later in the day in which she said that only 100 persons can enter Gaza, but with the banner of the Gaza Freedom March removed. We came here as Gaza Freedom March. We want to do the march. We did not accept the conditions they have because we come here with overtly political intentions to open the borders of Gaza, to give the basic human rights to the Palestinians in Gaza and respect international law. So we rejected that proposal. Initially, the Egyptian government has said that the reason that we cannot enter Gaza was that it was not secure. So if it is secure for 100 people, why wouldn't it be secure for 1,400? Therefore, we exposed the hypocrisy of the Egyptian government. They were willing to allow people in. It's just that they don't want the march to happen. And we know as evidence that Egypt has pressure from other countries. Egypt is not acting alone. Israel, according to the agreements Egypt has with Israel, has a say to whom enters in Gaza, and obviously our march was undesirable for Israel because they want to continue enforcing the illegal and the immoral siege, but also the United States, because the United States gives $2 billion a year to Egypt to sustain this authoritarian regime. Barack Obama was in Egypt earlier this year to make his speech calling for human rights, respect to international law and equality. It was a hypocritical speech because the Egyptian government is repressive. They are repressing not only their own populations, they removed our permits for us to move into Gaza. They do not allow us to express freely in the streets of Cairo. And they are collaborating with the biggest criminal, which is the State of Israel, which is violating not only international law, but all standards of dignity and humanity.
What do you make of the timing of Israel's stepped-up program of arresting Palestinian activists like Abdallah Abu Rama? He has support from South African Archbishop Desmond Tutu and many others. Is there something to be said about the timing here of, you know, Israel's crackdown, now events in Cairo, they're blocking you from getting into Gaza? What's the message they're trying to send? I mean, do you sense that these governments are a little bit worried about this new effort by peace activists?
The security forces come and surround us in the hundreds in order to isolate us and to break us apart. They were arrested. All of us are nonviolent activists. We do not condone violence in any way. And the Egyptian authorities have been arresting people pretty much arbitrary. It's a sort of given an example for us to dissuade us from protesting, but obviously this will not stop us continuing to condemning the siege of Gaza and bringing the struggle here into Egypt.
Zidad Luna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me in your program.
To learn more about Gaza Freedom Marches in Gaza, Cairo, the U.S., Canada, and other countries, go to GazaFreedomMarch.org, or you can try GeneralStrikeComics.com/Gaza-Freedom-blog. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program is produced in Storrs, Connecticut, and syndicated nationally through Pacifica Network. Thanks to all of the stations that air our program, and Happy New Year. Our music by Fritz Heed. And we heard a few bars of Roger Waters' Hello, I Love You. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.